We will call this meeting to order of the Law Enforcement Public Safety May 5th, 2021. Yes, I did have to scroll the agenda to see what day it was today. I'll take a motion to approve the April 7th meeting minutes and transcripts.
I'll move it.
Second? I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Great. The next thing we have is a proclamation, but unfortunately I have to grab it. So hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. Okay. Open. Okay. So I have an Ulster County Legislative Proclamation. Which Jay is holding right up there. We will hand it to the sheriff whenever that is possible. This is sort of happening off cycle. So rather than make it the full legislature, we're going to do it here in law enforcement, public safety. And you'll understand when we do it. Today marks one of the days, and then another day is shortly in the future. So whereas May 15th of each year was first proclaimed as National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and the week within which the day falls as National Police Week by a joint resolution of the 87th Congress and signed into law by President John F. Kennedy on October 1st, 1962. And whereas on May 5th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued Proclamation 5187, declaring the first full week in May as National Correctional Officers Week. And whereas law enforcement officers perform an essential public service under difficult circumstances, especially today with unprecedented challenges from increasing national unrest and the COVID pandemic. And whereas the Ulster County Deputy Sheriffs and other police officers are selfless public servants who accept as a part of their profession being exposed to great danger in order to protect the life, property, and others. I'm going to ask people to please mute. And whereas Ulster County's correctional officers and employees are tasked with securely, safely, and humanely keeping those in Ulster County Correctional Facility while respecting the rights and dignity of all inmates, whether having been found guilty or awaiting adjudication. And whereas the Ulster County Legislature is desirous of recognizing the difficulties faced by those in law enforcement and acknowledging the good work of these dedicated persons. And whereas having demonstrated a steadfast commitment to community and an unfaltering support of all who have served, those who continue to serve, and especially those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty. Now, therefore, I, David B. Donaldson, but this is Eve Walter speaking on his behalf, Chairman of Ulster County Legislature, do hereby direct this honorable body to pause in its deliberation to recognize and honor Ulster County's law enforcement officers by declaring May 2nd through 8th, 2021 as Correctional Officers Week, which is this week, May 9th through 15th, 2021 as Police Week, and May 15th, 2021 as Peace Officer Memorial Day. Thank you. And thank you, Sheriff, for all the work that you and everyone in your staff do for our county.
May I speak?
Oh, yes, please do.
First and foremost, I want to thank the chairman of the legislature, the chairman of the law enforcement committee, and all the members of the legislature for acknowledging the tough work and the times that these men and women have been going through, accepting the responsibilities and knowing our past and you know, making the changes that were needed and moving forward and acknowledging the work that they do. I want to sincerely thank all the members of the legislature for everything that you do for all of us as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Juan. All right. So we will, with that, move on to the resolutions for
Chairwoman Walter. If I can just beg a moment of your time, I'm going to let in a number I'm not familiar with, and I just want to have the caller identify.
Absolutely.
Good evening, caller from 845-825-7823. Could we please have your name for the record?
Evelyn Mallard.
Great. Thank you, Evelyn.
Okay. With that, I would like to take a motion to block resolution 198, 199, and 200. They're all SRO requests.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor of the block?
Aye.
Okay. Motion to discuss the three resolutions together?
Make that motion, Haynes.
Haynes, second?
I'll second.
Hefner. Okay. Any specific discussion? I'm going to just say so I can explain my vote. I strongly support our law enforcement being engaged with our youth and creating a safe, comfortable environment for and relationship between the two. And I support all of the work that I understand SRO officers do in the schools. I personally have a difficulty with the idea that SRO officers carry weapons into the schools. I feel like it establishes an environment that either suggests that our kids themselves are unsafe or that there is a risk, which empirically is exceedingly low and has no, in my mind, support that an SRO with a gun actually would reduce that risk of an outsider coming in. So, I also understand that this is not costing us anything. This is the money from BOCES to these school districts, but I just need to clarify why I won't be voting in favor of this personally. And it has nothing to do with my respect for the actual SRO officers. Any other comments or statements?
May I?
Yes. Legislator
Perry. Madam Chair, your concerns that you just expressed, when you relayed them to the school boards, what kind of a response did you get?
So, thank you. I mean, the school boards make their own decisions, and for the same reason, some school boards have decided not to have SRO officers. I know that Ron Dowd had decided it, then brought it back. You know, I recognize the fear that parents have, whether founded or unfounded by empirical fact, but you know, it's more of the what if that is very frightening to people, and I understand that. But yeah, the school district in the municipality I represent have stopped using SRO officers many years ago. So I represent my voting constituents in my perspective.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Just move the question.
And I respect your position, Chairwoman Walter. Of course, being someone who's been in law enforcement for 30 years, I think the SROs aren't the old Tackleberry types that were put into schools because they were had chip on their shoulders. These SROs are different. They are respected by their schools. They're respected by the kids that are in the schools. They're actually from the schools themselves. I understand the concerns of the many inner city schools that have issues with SROs. But what these SROs are trained, there's a new program called CPAS that the State Sheriff's Association is putting together to show best practices for SROs. And of course, the importance of having the layout and understanding of schools and the potential issues in the what if job that we have of protecting our youth in case of any potential school shootings. I know that they haven't happened here, but we are in that position that to make sure that we protect our children. But I do respect and understand the chair's concerns.
Okay, so all in favor of the block of the of resolution 198-200?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, it passes. Next we have resolution number 201, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County, of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an application for Department of Homeland Security FEMA port security grant with the sheriff. And this is the boat grant. Motion to discuss.
I'll second it, Haynes.
Okay, go ahead, Sheriff.
I wanted to correct what I had stated earlier in the week. This is actually permission to put in for a grant. This particular grant is for upgrading of our drones that we use and the newly formed North Hudson Task Force. The drones are utilized to look at the choke points of the icing that occurs in the Hudson River that allows the United States Coast Guard to bring their ice breakers through our areas to have commercial vessels go through our area. It's also the upgrade of technologies in order for us to communicate not only with our boats, but those boats of the United States Coast Guard. 75% is Fed granted, 25% will come from the county, but half of that 25% will be also paid for by the parks and recreations of the state of New York.
Have we had these drones before?
We presently have drones now that are old that we have paid for out of our own taxpayer fund, but being that this grant was available, we decided to put in for it. And this is strictly to get permission to put in for the grants. I think we have a pretty good shot at getting it. We have a very good relationship with the United States Coast Guard. As a matter of fact, on Friday, I'm going to their change of command with the captain of the port in Staten Island.
Is this a shared with Dutchess, since Hudson River basically is theirs as well?
No, this is strictly ours, and it will be utilized to assist the United States Coast Guard. And that's what the grant is for.
Other legislators, any questions? Comments, concerns? Okay, all in favor of resolution 201?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Next we have resolution 202, authorizing the chair of Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with the Department of Justice for asset forfeiture. This is the new asset tracker, correct? Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second, Haynes.
Second, Haynes, all right. Any discussion on this? Sheriff?
So that this is the new eShare program, and it's an annual required report that tracks asset forfeiture funds between the federal government and local entities like our county.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor of resolution number 202?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Next, we have resolution 203, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to adjust the annual salary of the opioid use disorder system specialist and the COSIP grant. Again, the Ulster County Sheriff, motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Okay. Second, Haynes. Any discussion? Sheriff, do you want to just fill us in about the budget change?
So this is a allocation of grant funds within the grant. Because it's less than 10%, we don't have to go to the federal government and get that amended. So these are funds that are within the grant. And the issues that we were having was unable to locate someone that, hire someone that was qualified to work as a social worker. We had to adjust the salary in order to hire someone that not only is an expert in opioid use disorder, but also mental health. So it was a tremendous find that we have in order to find someone with these qualifications in order to hire her. We had to advise her that we would, and we did talk to the federal COSAP folks, and they said we can do it because it's within the 10%. So we're just asking for an allocation, a reallocation of that within the grant funds of COSAP to hire her, and which we did hire her.
Okay, So she's already, just to clarify, so she's already been hired with the expectation of this higher salary?
Yes, ma'am.
And if for some reason it didn't get approved by the legislature, what would be the implication?
Then we would have to tell her that it wouldn't get approved. But we assumed it would get approved because it was within the federal grants and it's not going to be any taxpayer money.
And one of the things that had come up in the chair's meeting, and John, I don't know if you found it, was clarification in the agreement that this position was only for the time period of the grant and that we were not necessarily supporting the position after the grant is done. Did you, were you able to confirm that that was the language?
There, I'm sorry, if you're speaking to me, I do not, I think Mark was going to look at the language, but that was typically with grants such as this that have a definite time period. That is the understanding. I mean, I don't believe that this was handled any differently than we typically would. And so, Sheriff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the understanding. This was a definite time period for the grant. Grant runs out. That's it for those positions. It's just limited to the actual term of the grant.
And these grants, if they show success, we can reapply and get the grant.
Right. I guess the question is whether she understands, that this person understands, and anyone else hired on the grant, that once the grant is over, unless there's other funding, there's not a guarantee of continuation.
They would advise it that, yes, ma'am.
Legislator Fabiano? You're on mute.
If you hover over your face, Dean, hover over your own face, you should be able to see an unmute button. Just put the cursor right over your own face.
Yeah, just move the cursor.
And then you should see unmute.
I'm gonna let Legislator Heppner go while Legislator Fabiano figures it out. Legislator Heppner?
Yes, thank you. To the sheriff, if I may. So this additional salary increase, was that already just available funds, like you mentioned, in the grant, but it's not being taken away from anything that was already committed programmatically?
That's correct. First, the federal fiscal year starts in October. We didn't hire anybody, and we hired her until April. So the funding for her would be covered for 3 years based on that. And because it was less than 10%, we didn't have to go and do an amendment to the COSAP grant itself.
Legislator Fabiano.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. No, I was just wondering what the sheriff had said that that lady was informed. I know we passed this a few years ago that when the grant money ran out, they were supposed to be told after they were hired or when they turned their application that once the grant was over with, then they would have to leave. So, but he said she was told.
Yeah, and if Sheriff, if perhaps when this comes up for Ways and Means, we could just get the, make sure or confirm that the language on the original agreement specifies that it's for the time period of the grant. It should, I think it's boilerplate, but let's just confirm it.
I will check.
Thanks. Legislator Petit?
Thank you. We have over the last couple of years been making sure that there is that language within the resolution. I was just looking for it real quick. I don't know if I saw it, but it has that, you know, essentially a sunset clause that the position may be no longer be available if there's situation of the grant funding. But I don't know if Deputy County Executive Milgram sees it in there. Like I said, I was trying to pull just the resolution part up, but generally that's in. So, you know, and Amber's been keeping track of these grants. They are sunsetting.
Yeah, it's likely there. We just wanted confirmation. So again, I think we don't need to hold up this unless you found it, John. Okay, I think it's just for the Ways and Means meeting, if we could just have that so that I don't see any. You know, I don't know. I personally feel okay moving forward on it now and letting that, you know, we could just confirm that then.
Agreed.
Okay. So all in favor of resolution number 204?
All right.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Abstained? All right. Great. Next, we have resolution 205, approving the execution of a contract amendment for eight.
That was 203. You're on 204.
Thanks. Resolution number 204, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to adjust the annual salary of the assistant warden, Ulster County Sheriff. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second? Haynes? Okay. So Sheriff, you want to give us some background?
So the assistant warden, just a little background. Once the assistant warden and the major retire, they will not get any overtime because they're in a specific union of management, which will be abolished once those the individuals that are in the positions now leave. Right now, they get overtime. Well, they will not get overtime upon the retirement of the two individuals, the warden and the assistant warden. The warden's not retiring until hopefully a couple of years. He's not retiring anytime soon. So we're focusing on the assistant warden because he is retiring and he's retiring this month. The issue is that the lieutenants that will be the positions that would, the experienced positions that would take the assistant warden position, the next rank up is captain, make at least $20,000 more than the warden. And no individual, in particular a lieutenant, has a family, a mortgage, and kids, is going to take a $20,000 cut. And that's the case in a lot of our management positions. The difference with this particular management position, though, including yours truly, the difference is that he's in charge of overseeing a facility of 147 correctional staff to include 10 civilians. He also handles all of the evaluations and inquiries involving the staff. He's the important records management person, foot jail management, and the State Commission on Corrections. He's also our accreditation manager, and he oversees the daily operations. And this right now we have 210 inmates. So he is the overseer of those day-to-day operations. He handles jail investigations and inmate time calculations. And he's the liaison with the county attorney when it comes to inmate. This is an extremely important position that we cannot leave open. And the only position, the only folks that are qualified to take those are those six lieutenants. And none of them will take it when that is a $20,000 pay cut. So we are asking that this position be amended to the request that's in the resolution so that we can, when the captain does retire, that we can promote one of those lieutenants and that would, they would take that job.
Questions or comments? I have the question of when, how did this problem occur? Like, is it that lieutenant salaries just got inflated over time that it eventually got higher? Because you would think naturally a lieutenant salary would be lower. Like, what happened last time the assistant warden left? You obviously had someone to fill that space. So what occurred that there's this disparity now?
The lieutenants are part of the CBA, collective bargaining unit. They are part of the union with the corrections officers, where those two positions are management and are a separate union. So they're not the same union, and they're not, they don't have the same, representation. And the other issue is that, speaking of longevity, just to add that into the mix, longevity gets paid off at the beginning of the year. So instead of longevity being broken out throughout the year, like most of the lieutenants, that captain and major, in particular, the more important one is that of the major because he's retiring. They put that in a lump sum at the beginning of the year so he gets taxed immediately. That sunsets once they retire because they're not part of that and they're not part of any union once those two retire. That's what why this is such a big issue.
Legislator Fabiano?
Yes. Sheriff, now, was this situation known that it was coming at the time of the budget process?
This came after
the fact.
This has been going on for years. I brought it up to the attention of of our folks last year, but it wasn't put into the budget because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I feel if you're receiving more responsibility on your job, you obviously should be compensated for that added responsibility. I was just wondering
an issue throughout the county. As the sheriff, regardless of my pension, because I earned that pension, as the sheriff, I make 101. The undersheriff makes 103. The captain makes about 130. And the same thing happens. And these are 24/7 operations. You get called out, you got to come out. And you're exactly right, legislator. Nobody wants a job with more responsibilities and less pay, in particular when you have a mortgage and children.
Right.
Well, it's an interesting problem where as long as the lieutenant's union keeps upping their amount for us to have, you know, parity, we have to keep upping our amount to make it seem fair. And it's a challenging scenario because I could just see them getting a $5,000-$10,000 raise and we'll be back in this situation all over again. It's almost like that union is helping everybody get a raise because of the effort to have this balance.
Go ahead, Legislator Papiano. Yeah, I just have one more thing. I know where I work, maybe it's time that the county starts looking at what I call entry-level pay. You know, somebody's been in a position for 10 or 15 or 20 years, and it keeps rising. That doesn't mean when they retire that the new individual comes in and starts right where they're leaving off. Sometimes you can do what they call entry-level fee and then work their way back up. Might be a way to help the taxpayers and save a few dollars. We do that, I know, in our town with different positions and that.
Sure.
Just wanted to add that funding is actually coming out from within the sheriff's budget. So it's not any additional funding that I'm asking the legislature for. There are two part-time corrections officers. Very difficult to hire part-time corrections officers because you have to go through a 3-week academy, and most folks that have full-time jobs aren't gonna go full-time 3 weeks for a part-time CO. So we're gonna redline two of those part-time corrections officers positions to help offset the costs for the assistant warden and stay within the operational funds of the sheriff's office.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Legislator Hefner?
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you saying, Chairwoman Walters, just the process seems, you know, eventually, I mean, already it seems just out of line, and somehow, you know, we're going to keep facing this problem. But I appreciate the sheriff's creativity to find the funds within the existing sheriff's budget, which gives me the comfort at this moment to support it.
Okay, any other comments, questions? All right, all in favor of resolution number 204?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? All right. Next, we have resolution 205, approving the execution of a contract for $8,640, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered in the county for Touch Legal Incorporated by the sheriff again. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second.
Haynes.
Thanks. Sheriff, you want to just quickly tell us what this one is?
I gotta look it up. I'm
205.
County Touch.
This is the law library at the jail.
Yes, it's the law library. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The mobile law library.
Yeah. Okay. Any discussion? All right. I moved forward. All in favor of resolution 205?
All right.
Opposed? Abstain? Next, we have resolution 206, establishing capital project number 592 with the Ulster County Law Enforcement Center, fire alarm and heating cooling control upgrade, Department of Public Works. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second.
Haynes.
Okay. Any discussion? Any questions about this one? Can I ask, I mean, since our legislator Green is not here, are there any efforts in these heating cooling upgrades that are green?
Asking the sheriff, asking me, or?
Whoever has the answer.
I don't know that there was the survey done at the LEC not too long ago, I believe last year. This is essentially what they're looking to purchase was the most efficient and clean that was able to handle the load essentially for the facility. Every single one of these purchases, we do try to find an alternative.
So has it been determined that solar is not a possibility of the jail property?
For heating system or cooling or?
Yes.
I can answer some of that. So the heating system is actually being transferred from fuel to gas through Central Hudson. We put a brand new line in last year. So one of the three systems have been upgraded. It's going to save the county in the long run when all three are replaced. I would strongly recommend that the legislature members at some point come in and look at the infrastructure of this building. It truly is an amazing, it's a big building and it costs a lot. We've been doing improvements. There are a lot of parts of the building. There were no light switches and they're in the process of doing that. They're also putting timers in a lot of the areas that there were no timers in before to save money. I know that the county also replaced a lot of the lights. They're all LED lights now. So 40% of the electric from this building, I was advised that from Environment, comes from the solar farm behind the Kingston Mall. And that's something that I found out when I first came into office.
That's true? So 40% of this building is powered by solar?
That's well, great. 40% of the money that's made from that solar farm behind the mall cuts the cost for this building. Now, I don't know if that number is 40%. That's what I was told. I don't know if that's 100%. Buildings or grounds would know that.
Well, I guess I would hope that now in 2021, and as we move our way out of focusing on COVID, that all of these capital projects always incorporate some element of a way to green even further. And even if it's not possible in the actual structure, then maybe it means adding, you know, more trees to reforestation. But there, I feel like each of these kinds of capital projects are so costly that they should incorporate some kind of offset towards our environment. I don't know when we're going to start doing that, but it seems like we should have. And I just hope that it would be great to know what all of those changes, how that has helped reduce the footprint of the jail, because I think it's time that we start working on that.
Madam Chair, the reason why I know that the solar farm behind the mall is pays off some of the electric here is because I reached out to a company to put solar panels on our roof. And as you know, our roof has a lot of leaks even today. And the deal was to replace the roof and put solar panels offset. And because there's already a contract with a separate company, we couldn't do that. And that's why I know. Maybe I may be wrong with that percentage. I for whatever reason, 40% sticks in my mind, but that's why I know that there's a contract to offset the cost of this building with that solar farm that's behind the mall.
Great. But also if you're changing light bulbs to lower energy, you know, there's a lot of ways to green a little bit, even if it's not completely. So I just hope that always stays in your mind. Other questions or comments? All right, all in favor of resolution number 206?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Resolution number 208, approving the execution of a contract for $357,624.14 entered into the county ADT commercial, Red Hawk Fire and Security. And this is Department of Public Works. This is the replacement of the fire alarm assistance, fire alarm system at the law enforcement center. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second.
Fabiano.
Okay. You can figure it out today who you want to put. any discussion on this? So the only thing I guess I have is we added to the 2021 budget the project of improving the locks in the jail. We were told that it was a very dangerous situation. I'm just wondering, Sheriff or John Milgram, whether we would have a sense of when we're going to see that capital project get started.
We are waiting on a quote from Black Creek, and Black Creek is the system that oversees the entire security in this building, everything from our doors to the security cameras. And so we're just waiting to get that quote, and then we would submit that.
Thanks. Next we have resolution number 209. Oh, wait, did we vote on this one?
Thanks. No.
any other comments, questions? All right. All in favor of resolution number 208?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? All right. Resolution number 209. Approving the execution of a contract for $208,300 entered into the county for Eastern Cooling and Heating Department of Public Works. And this is HVAC at the Law Enforcement Center. Law Enforcement Center's got a whole facelift here. Motion to discuss?
I make that motion, Haynes.
Haynes, second?
No.
Hepner? Any discussion on resolution 209? I guess I'll just say everything I said for 206, I repeat for 209 for the record. Okay, anyone else? All in favor of resolution number 209?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? All right. Next we have resolution 242, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 3 of 2021, a local law amending local law number 7 of 2014, a local law respecting the outdoor restraint of companion animals to be held Tuesday, June 15, 2021. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second.
Haynes. Okay. Legislator Petit is here. Do you want to speak to this?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I forwarded revisions that I had received to you about half hour, 40 minutes ago, so you have not seen them. I had the executive director of the Ulster County SPCA reach out. She thanked us because it is going to be important to tighten up some of the verbiage in this. So she said it will make the tethering law more enforceable. And did ask that we pull the confinement definition out because she said that in and of itself is going to be a completely different law. So with that, I would like you to entertain a motion to postpone it until next month. And I will get you those revisions and we can discuss it a little bit further. She is available next month. She could not be here tonight because she's out in Marlboro with there's a hoarding case out there. It's taken 3 years and 79 cats, but there's some forward movement.
Great. Before I put that motion forward, does anyone else have a question or comment related to this? Legislator Hepner?
No, I was gonna just offer that.
So any other comments or questions regarding what this is before we make that motion? All right, so go ahead, Legislator Hepner.
On behalf of Legislator Petit, I'll make the motion to postpone.
Okay, a second?
I'll second it.
Fabiano, okay, all in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Against, abstain, okay. Next we have the Criminal Justice Reform Task Force. It's moving along, the end date is coming for July. So working on a final report, including appendix with some suggested resolutions for the legislature to consider. The early draft of the resolutions will be presented at the next Criminal Justice Reform Task Force meeting. So if anyone wants to get a, you know, pre-look, an early look at it, feel free to come to that meeting, because we'll be talking about the language. The group's been working very hard. And I guess that's it for that. Unless there's any questions about the task force. Okay, so the next under new business is the American Rescue Plan funding. So you all saw the message from the chair of the legislature requesting that each committee consider from its own purview potential uses for the American Rescue Plan funding. So what I would ask is that members of this committee consider, in terms of law enforcement, public safety, areas that perhaps maybe were not able to be funded in 2021, or something innovative or new for us to discuss at our next meeting. I will say that, again, the Criminal Justice Reform Task Force does have a few elements to it that have a cost to it. So they will be presented also, but please keep in mind, you know, any other thoughts that you have in the next meeting. What would be ideal is if you could share your ideas in some kind of brief draft with our committee prior, so that we each have a chance to kind of look it over and think about it and have questions beforehand. Would be great. If not, then we could just, but we will add it to our agenda for the next meeting. Okay.
I can just jump in for a second. Absolutely. Would you, because I came today with the understanding that, I would share my ideas. But if you would prefer that I put it, you know, together and introduce it to the committee next month, I don't have an issue with that either. So whatever you would like is, you know, fine with me.
I guess what I would like, I think, you know, I think it's fine to present it, but we'll all recognize that we need time to absorb it and think about it. So maybe we don't need to get down a whole rabbit hole about it, but at least hear it and have it in our minds moving forward. I think that that's fine. You know, I don't know how, I prefer to have discussion when we had time to think about these ideas, but, you know, deep discussion. But I unless anyone objects, I have no problem with Legislator Lopez just putting it forward, his thoughts. Any objections? Yeah, okay, go ahead, Legislator.
It'll be brief. As we're all aware, you know, we had some difficulty last year, and we had to make tough decisions as a legislature with the anticipated budget shortfall as a result of the COVID shutdown and the loss of revenues. And that led to the legislature cutting $200,000 out of the legislative programs. And part of those cuts also included $5,000 from the $10,000 that the county allocates annually to the Walker Valley Fire Department. So when I heard that the county was potentially, but now that it's definitely going to receive this upwards of $34 million, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to, you know, try to get these monies reallocated or backfilled through this program to the fire department. And I was originally just going to introduce a resolution, but I wanted to go the way of how the chairman suggested, and that, you know, come to the committee and have that discussion with you and, you know, bounce some thoughts off. And if you had any questions on the best way to move forward to get this done, then, you know, I was open to any questions that you may have. So, but this is really important to the fire department. Yeah, they don't have a large budget, and they count on these monies each year. So when they learned that that $10,000 were going to be cut in half, it was difficult for them. But you know, if we have this opportunity where we can make them whole with what I would guess these money should go to, I think that was kind of the idea, was to make whole organizations, programs, municipalities, even some private businesses, if they qualify, that were affected either directly or indirectly as a result of the COVID shutdown. So yeah, that's all. If you want me to add some more detail, in a written plan for it, I could submit that for next month, or if you have any questions for me tonight, I'd be more than willing to answer them as well.
Thank you. And thank you for also clarifying that that there are some elements to what kinds of things we can fund, and it does need to have that they were impacted by COVID. So I guess what I would ask, and this is creates a good example for whoever's providing something next month, it would be really great to have a sense, and I'm sure it came up in legislative programs, like what they said they would lose by losing that money. We had asked, I know, in the combined legislative program Ways and Means, each program to tell us sort of why, what was the impact of COVID and what was the impact of losing that funding. So I think it would be really helpful if you could just pull that together. It should be already exist.
Right. No, I could speak to that now, but if you want
me to put, I think it'd be nice to have so that we can see all the ideas in front of us together. Sure. That everybody who's bringing up something can have a small preamble, sort of explaining why this is important, and how it ties into COVID. That would be great, and then we could look at them all, at, in one kind of law enforcement public safety packet.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I think that's a good plan.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So anything else with the American Rescue Plan funding? Okay. So in terms of old business, we had made a motion for a committee hearing on crime in the county. I don't know if that was exactly the formal title that we gave it, slated for July. In the interim between that meeting and this meeting, I know I've done a bunch of research myself. I think Legislator Parody has perhaps done some research himself. I don't know if you want to speak first to this or whether you would like me to proceed. Legislator Parody.
Your choice. You're fine. You're the boss.
Okay. I started by... myself by trying to explore and understand the extent of the problem in our county, especially over the last year, being sensitive not only to recognizing that there has been this gun-related violence for sure in Kingston, but also respecting like what Legislator Fabiano said, where is this something that's across the whole county or is this primarily a Kingston situation, and to understand how to respond. It's very challenging to get really up to date data. The sheriff made some efforts, but most of the stuff that he was able to pull from DCJS doesn't bring us to today. I mean, some of it just even ends at 2019 or 2020. And I wanted to know by municipality so that we can identify like which municipalities were hard hit, so that we can identify if there are individuals within those municipalities that we would like to hear from. So it became a challenge to really have the answer to that question. And further exploration and speaking to individuals like in the Department of Probation and others trying to understand, something that sort of came up to me was this idea that right now we as the county pass through state funding for two programs that are specifically two specific programs related to violence, and that's our GIVE program, which is the Gun Involved Violence Elimination Initiative. It is targeted to Kingston because Kingston is one of the 17 municipalities in the state that has the highest level of violence overall. And that's been since 2014 that Give Money has come to Kingston. But it, you know, that is our county seat. The Give Initiative, we also have IPVI. When I spoke to Department of Probation, she was saying that when we expand the conversation from guns to assaults, it's really domestic violence and intimate partner violence that's really been a particular concern during COVID. And the IPVI through the district attorney's office is specifically focused on intimate partner violence. So what I'd like to propose for consideration is that we, at this point, table this hearing and have the next step be a request from someone who is managing the GIVE program, the gun violence program, someone who's managing the IPVI. And then I would also ask the sheriff if he would be willing to, so we'd have a special meeting with three presentations, like PowerPoint data, like real presentations, one from GIVE, one from IPVI. And then if the sheriff would be okay to really break down the gun violence that occurred in the last year to help us to sort of understand what any kind of anything you're legally allowed to share with us about it. And that I feel confident that once we really hear from our programs that we already fund, like what's going on from their perspective, we would have a better sense of knowing what exact questions we would want in a hearing and who we'd want to hear from. So I'm not suggesting we take the hearing off the table. I'm suggesting permanently, but that once we really get a sense of the nature of what's happening in our county, and I would, you know, including how they saw the last year change things, what they've been trying to do, maybe even efforts they've tried that they have not been able to do because they don't have the funding or support, that we could help them do their jobs better. Can we help GIVE? Can we help IPVI? Can we help the sheriff in any way? So I'm suggesting that we start with that special meeting and really hear from those three groups. And then we can discuss what we've learned in terms of the data and decide together whether we want to hear more from the public who are impacted by this, who we want to hear from next after we actually know the extent of the problem across the whole county. So that's what I'm suggesting. Any other thoughts or?
Well, I'd like to weigh in on a little bit. There's sort of two parts to this whole thing. Number one, Ulster County and City of Kingston were touted for the last 15 or 20 years as some of the safest and most pleasant communities to live in, not only in New York State, but across the nation. And somewhere that changed. And during this period of time, not to point fingers at our neighboring communities, but while Kingston was having incredible success in peacefulness, Newburgh was exploding, Poughkeepsie was having problems. So part of my question is what changed? What went wrong? Somewhere around 2017 or 2018 to suddenly start to have this increase in violent crime. And it has nothing to do with the pandemic because it wasn't even here then. And I'd like to hear, I personally would like to hear from the authorities, people in office, people who were in office, law enforcement people, not only what they think might have happened, but what do we do today? I know there's plenty of programs we just passed for the sheriff and others, 12, 14 resolutions. But I'd love to hear people come in and say, here's what I think's wrong. Here's what I think we have to do. The people with the boots on the ground, not folks that have some philosophical position on, you don't understand. It's more complicated than you might think. So I don't really agree with you, Madam Chair, that I think we should invite folks in and say, what happened? We're not looking to sandbag anybody. There's a period of time when we were very peaceful. I don't really care what's happening in New York City or in Albany or Minneapolis. I'm concerned about our community. And there's people out there that I talk to. Some would love to testify. Some would be reluctant to because there could be repercussions. And I think those folks would have to be heard either through anonymous depositions or whatever. And maybe in the end, it'd all dry up and nobody's interested. And I can live with that too. But the fact of the matter is we've had four, five, or six homicides in the last year or so, 2 years. Yep, that can be blamed on COVID. Well, maybe yes and maybe no. So I don't understand why we couldn't, in July or August, invite the professionals, not people that are getting paid to research you, but the people that are there who arrest people, who ferret out the problems, who are concerned with the opportunity to understand the community, the law enforcement people, former, future law enforcement people, public defenders, the judges, maybe they have some thoughts. But I'm not really interested in this point, quite frankly, of listening to somebody on some philosophical job, because it's really not working right now. We got a problem.
So I'll get to you in a second, Hefner. I just want to respond. With all due respect, the people who are operating Give, IPVI, the sheriff, are not philosophical. They're the people on the ground. They are the law enforcement and the prosecutors. They are those people that you're referring to, the ones whose boots are on the ground. They are given, the Give money is Department of Criminal Justice Services provided through to the sheriff's office and district attorney's office specifically to respond to violence. And IPVI is money that's given to the district attorney's office to respond to violence. I just want to finish. It's also that it's not, your argument, with all due respect, is not empirically supported. I mean, I collected and I went and got Ulster County data for violent crime dating back to 2010. And while last year was an increase, there's two things that aren't true. One is there isn't a huge shift other than last year. They've remained relatively the same, the violent crimes that we've seen over a long period of time. And the second one is the very fact that the state provides Give money to Kingston is because it's one of the 17 highest rates since 2014. They started that in 2014. And so if Kingston was purely fell out of that, it wouldn't have received the funding. But for you know, that's six, seven, eight, that's a, you know, in all those years, we've been getting that money because Kingston has been considered one of the 17 highest. So my request is that rather than anecdotally saying it was such a peaceful place and now it's so violent, let's go to the people with the boots on the ground who've been collecting this data specifically, because a lot of the data I have is Give data, and hear from them with the boots on the ground what they see is happening, not just in Kingston, but across the county, and what efforts they've been making and what's been successful and what hasn't. And then if we felt the need for hearing further. But I just want to clarify it. This is not inviting some philosopher. This is not inviting some PhD. It is inviting people who are doing these programs on the ground. Legislator Hefner had his hand up and then.
Go ahead.
Legislator Walter said a lot of what I was going to say and saying so, and why I think this makes very logical sense for an initial special meeting, especially for us as policymakers, to, you know, bring in both these folks that are, like she said, boots on the ground experts and whose experience on the ground isn't going to just cut us off in the last year. It's going to give us a much broader window over the last 8 years plus, as well as, you know, in addition to gun violence, we're also getting information on other types of physical violence, especially domestic violence, a more holistic view. as well as Kingston and outside the county seat. I mean, this to me, this seems like, again, I believe my interpretation of what the chairwoman was saying is, how about this first step of this special meeting that for us as policy, me personally, I'll say then as a policymaker, would be very beneficial.
If I may, first of all, some of the money that went through for some of these are mainly because of, we have good lobbyists in Albany who get these fundings for us. You know, going back to early 2020, at the very one of the very first meetings I came to, there was a news release out of Kingston that there was going to be this major cooperative effort by law enforcement agencies cooperating together to reduce the violence that seemed to be on the increase. And I remember asking the sheriff, don't you folks already have bike patrols and people in here, intelligence, that are trying to ferret out these problems? Just this week, there's another new program to bring more cooperation. And Ulster County was known publicly and privately as an area that it was the most successful cooperation between the police agencies anywhere in the state, in the opinion of some of these law enforcement people. So I don't buy it. I don't know why we seem to be reluctant to find out what happened somewhere along the way. And we just keep repeating the same thing right now. There's more shootings, more gun violence, and we're having all this cooperation. What went wrong? What do the law enforcement people need to try to help them do their job to protect the public? So I don't see why putting anything off. You can always bring those folks in and say, well, we're trying to do it. But I have no trouble asking the DA, asking the public defender, asking the sheriff or the former sheriff, asking some of the police chiefs, asking some of the union leaders in the PBA, what do you think the problem is? Why do you think things have turned so sour?
Legislator Haynes?
I can agree actually with all of my colleagues that spoke on this. I don't object to bringing in this extra, information. Quite honestly, I'd like to see the results from some of these studies, but I'll just caution everyone as to what I've seen. You know, when I first came on scene in 2015, we had a huge issue with opioid overdoses that were grossly underreported. And the data is only as good as the information that's being collected. And back then there was a major issue with the underreporting. You know, they would say, you know, we saw, 11 overdoses in 6 months. I saw 11 in 30 days. So that's why sometimes with the data, if things are going underreported, they're not making it into, to the data. With that being said, I can tell you, I don't really need to rely on data to tell you. I've spent a majority of my time from 2015 up until 2020 on Broadway in the city of Kingston, and I could sense a major change. I would be very hesitant to spend that much time on Broadway in the city of Kingston today. So clearly there's been some type of a shift in whatever is going on. There's a criminal element. I'm not exactly sure. Some of these incidents have happened right around the corner from my former office building. And again, it's very clear to me that there's been a shift. Perhaps it exploded during the past year, but there's been a shift in that leading up until this point. But I do not object to seeing the data from those two organizations, those agencies, what have you. But I think we could also do it in conjunction with some testimony from others in that field as well.
Thank you. And just to clarify, GIVE is not just data. GIVE is an entire program. If you go on their DCJS, I mean, this is arrest data. It's not them just choosing, if there was an arrest, it has to go up through DCJS. But they also have four elements, which is people focusing on prevention and enforcement of offenders, places, looking at hotspots, scanning the hotspots, looking at areas that have had the most shooting and homicides, alignments, having strategies for coordinating with partners and to reduce shooting and homicides and engagements where they're supposed to be working with the community at large and community members to give them voice. So having tell us how it's been going doesn't just say here are the arrests that we've made, but also what here are the efforts we've done specifically related to gun violence in Ulster, well, specifically Kingston, but it's more than just data. I want to hear how they've achieved all of the initiatives that they're supposed to be funded for.
And what hasn't worked? I would just add, and what hasn't worked?
Yeah, what do they, maybe they need more help, Sheriff?
I just wanted to, if I can, just throw a couple of comments here about the issues that have been going on the last couple of years in regards to, besides the pandemic, which we all know does play a role in all the overdoses that we have. I think crime has gone up because of the drug issue. And we have to look at the issues of Bail Reform 1 and Bail Reform 2. Those are very important factors in what goes on. We just saw someone released from from our local court the other day that was accused of murder. And there is an uptick in crime. There is an uptick in the drugs in our county. And our arrests have tripled in Ulster County, just urgent numbers on how we do business. We now go after the higher end of it. The collaboration with law enforcement is still going on. We have a meeting here once a month with local law enforcement. Of course, each agency has different issues. You know, we've seen some of the PBAs that have done no confidence votes of their leadership. And I'm not going to point fingers, but we all know what we're talking about. And that does have an effect. When you beat a profession up and you paint the brush of a profession like it's been happening in law enforcement, just like it has with people of color. And I stress this point because it's important. That feeling that law enforcement has right now, and I just use this because I want to put it into perspective of the broad brush. Nobody likes when a particular race gets picked on, or if you go, for example, me going into a nice store where there's, you know, I get followed around because somebody that looked like me that, you know, committed a petty larceny. Nobody likes that broad brush. Yet that's exactly what's going on with law enforcement. And that national, the things that are going on national does have a role in how local law enforcement feels. And I think until we get past this phase, and we all have responsibilities when things go wrong, we have to stop. We can't have what happens in other part, whatever happens in Minnesota, New York City. My job and our job as leaders is to make sure that doesn't happen here. But that does have an effect on the rank and file of law enforcement. They some of them are afraid to do their jobs, and it's because of the national stigma that's going on. You know, it's a fact that there are leadership issues in different local municipalities, and that needs to be addressed by those local municipalities. But we do have, you know, I read the paper too, and I saw, you know, how all of a sudden what we did with the Blue and Gray Patrol to push back on the shootings and the homicides in the city of Kingston wasn't a good way of doing it. I disagree with that. There were no murders during that time frame when the sheriff's office, the state police, and KPD worked together. Yet they're saying that didn't work. Well, that did work. Unfortunately, we're listening to the voices of the few and not the voices of the majority in our communities. And I think we are listening to the loudest people rather than listening to all of the people, which has an effect on how law enforcement does its job.
Thank you.
You know, may I just say one other thing? I mean, I had an eye opener last week when we listened to the sheriff's right-hand guy on the urgent and the plans they have and the successes they have and the cooperation they're getting. And then we found out there's a lot of major communities that aren't a part of it. And it seemed like that would be almost a natural for the law enforcement folks. It'd be interesting to find out Is there a problem? Is it a funding problem? Is it a philosophical problem? I don't know. Maybe we'll never know. Some of the folks that I talk to say to some degree the actionable intelligence that they used to get is drying up. I don't know. We got to find out somewhere we can ask the question. We might not get a straight answer, or we may get a straight answer. I don't know if postponing questioning of elected leaders, the people in law enforcement. You know, we have 8 people in Albany who represent sections of Ulster County. Maybe they have an idea of what to do to work with the law enforcement people to make our community safe. That's what I'm interested in.
Thank you. Again, to reiterate, my suggestion of starting locally with the programs that are intended to do this and respond to these problems are an intent to create a little bit more form. We do not want to hold a hearing that is just loosely organized, that's asking a large swath of people who many of whom will not potentially come to speak. It's a serious thing to hold the hearing. And if I feel like if we're doing it, we should be doing it correctly. And I do not feel at this point that it has the kind of organization necessary to do it appropriately. So the request to first hear from the programs that are doing this work on the ground, including the sheriff, the district attorney, the officers who are responsible for specifically responding to violence. I feel like by hearing from them, hearing how it impacts not just Kingston, but the rest of our county, will help inform us how to do this correctly. And so that is my request, not to cancel it, but to find a way to do it appropriately. Legislator Fabiano.
I understand what you're saying. So do you think that we can work our way in this process to a hearing?
That is my hope, that it is one that's clear.
Can we make that a goal?
Mm-hmm.
That in the future or near future that we end up doing the hearing where some of these people can be asked to come?
Absolutely. But I think at that point we would know, you know, beyond Kingston, what communities are particularly impacted? We know the guns because that's in the newspaper in Kingston, but in terms of domestic violence or aggravated assaults, we don't really know exactly which communities we specifically want to hear from that have had a heightened problem. So it would allow us to really know whether do we need to hear from people and law enforcement in Ellenville specifically? Yeah. Are there specific places that we want to really target hearing from, not just the people who respond to crimes, but I would love to hear from the community members what they're feeling. But I want to know the right people to be asking and the right questions to be asking. So I just felt that in the very least, if we understood the nature and extent of the problem that exists from these programs that are doing it for us right now, then we could make that decision and do it in the future. Yes.
You know, Madam Chair, a few minutes ago, when you were talking about bringing these programs in, the acronyms for their objectives, you said, when we listen to them, we can have these hearings and, or we might not even need them. I don't know even where that came from. We could have these folks come in and we wouldn't need these other programs to come in. If we had testimony from professionals, the sheriff, the DA, all the police people, feet on the ground that are dealing with it, I don't see what the big problem is. What it's like we're deflecting it. Make it go away.
So with all due respect, I am absolutely not reflecting it or wishing it goes away. I want to understand it in a systematic way. Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, I would say, with all due respect, a lot of these entities that you, Legislator Perry, that you're literally listing are ones that are involved in these programs and who she's speaking about having this special meeting about, and again, has said nothing about removing the intention of a hearing down the road. But I believe the chairwoman was given a very broad request with very few actionable items or goals, and has actually done a ton of research, has actually given us more accurate information in terms of different timelines. You know, I did not know that Kingston has been receiving that funding and been listed in the top 17 since going back 2014. That wasn't even what the time frame was being referenced in the last meeting when this was first requested. You know, again, I think this was a broad request given to the chairwoman. I think she's done an incredible job starting to put pieces together to give us as committee members resources and to help guide us going forward. And again, the entities that you just mentioned are involved in the program she's trying to bring in for a special meeting as part of this, you know, being respectful to this request. And, you know, I think, you know, it has my support right now.
Well, I'm opposed to putting that ahead of bringing in the electeds and the law enforcement people and their representatives to hear what they have to say.
Legislator Fabiano.
Yes, I just want to remind the chairwoman that there is another meeting at 6:30 scheduled, Public Works and Capital Projects.
Thank you. Yes. I believe in Robert's rules, and correct me if I'm wrong, that because I was among the people voting in favor of this, that I am allowed to propose sure. that we postpone the hearing. So I'm going to be making a motion that we postpone the hearing to allow time to gather enough information, however that should look, to be able to have a more clear sense of who we're inviting and what we're asking. You're on mute.
You may make the motion, Madam Chair.
Okay. So is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you. So all in favor of...
I'm opposed.
Okay, well, I'll get to opposed, I promise. So all in favor of postponing the public hearing while we gather more information.
And this special meeting will be scheduled within, do you have a time frame?
We'll schedule it within the next month if possible, depending on the people who are asking to come to the meeting, for sure. And there'll be other research that, you know, we'll try to gather more information and get, and I would hope to work with Legislative Parity a little bit more on the specifics so that we really have a clear sense of what we're hoping to achieve by this public hearing, for, you know. So all in favor of postponing the public hearing while we continue to gather information to understand the specifics of what we want to ask and who we want to ask?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed?
Aye.
So does the motion
pass? Opposes.
Okay, so we have 3 in favor, 2 opposed.
Your motion carries.
Okay, so we'll postpone it, and I promise to do due diligence to not let this idea go by the wayside. We will continue to get move forward. And, you know, it is, I personally would love, whether this was brought up or not, like to hear from GIV and IPVI and understand how things are going in our county, because we are funding those programs through the state. And I think that's important. And I do believe it'll be very insightful for us.
And we will be moving forward for a public hearing in the near future.
Absolutely. Yes, I had never suggested we wouldn't. So, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you all.